All right, welcome back. We, like I said, we have a big show. We have people all over the place here. Joining us is Dr. Thomas Jindowski from Western Washington Medical Group, the husband of our favorite Dr. Furtado.
You know, travel medicine physician.
It's her husband.
Furtado, yes.
Yeah.
That's right.
So any husband of hers is a husband of ours. Thanks for coming on with us. We also have Michelle Miller, your patient, is joining us.
Correct.
We're talking about basic pulmonary fibrosis, right?
Well, idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis. And so let's set it up. Give us a little anatomy, physiology of the lungs, and then maybe set it up the idiopathic fibrosis.
So I think first let's just talk for a couple minutes about the basic physiology of the lungs
right.
and go into the disease process. And you know, the lungs are really designed to get oxygen into your body. Every single cell in your body relies on oxygen. When air enters the lungs and the bronchioles and goes into smaller and smaller airways, bronchioles ends up in tiny little grape-like sacs called alveoli. And there's approximately 300 million of those in your
body. Isn't that amazing? 300 million.
Yeah, so
wow.
A lot of stuff. So it gets in there, and those alveoli are surrounded by a mesh of tiny little capillaries, tiny little blood vessels that bring in oxygen without any blood, bring in blood without any oxygen in it, and pick up oxygen from this alveoli and then go back into the body and get distributed throughout the rest of the body by the heart.
So right.
I always make fun of my cardiology friends that really the heart is there to pump the oxygen throughout the body. That's really its design. So with pulmonary fibrosis, what happens is that patients can develop significant scarring, connective tissue formation around those alveoli and around the lungs that stiffen the lung and prevent normal absorption of oxygen. And these patients can develop a number of different symptoms, primarily shortness of breath and cough.
So in a healthy lung tissue, the lung tissue is spongy and pliable and soft. In this idiopathic fibrosis, that tissue basically stiffens, and that stiffening or fibrosis takes away those air exchange areas on the alveoli. Is that kind of what happens?
Correct. So two components. There's the stiffening, so the lungs don't function properly in terms of its basic physiology
right.
and mechanics, but also the scarring frequently occurs around the alveoli throughout the lungs, and it prevents normal oxygen absorption.
And who's at risk? I mean, because the word idiopathic means a lot of times just it kind of comes on for no apparent reason.
Right. So before we go into idiopathic, the whole idea of pulmonary fibrosis, you know, there's pulmonary fibrosis, which is really means lung scarring.
Okay.
And there's known causes of it, and there's causes we don't understand, and we don't know where it's coming from. We call it idiopathic. So a lot of patients can be at risk for pulmonary fibrosis, for the scarring. Patients who have significant environmental exposures, people in certain industries, exposure to asbestos, silica in mines, patients who have exposed to bird droppings or other protein, patients who have experienced side effects from radiation therapy, cancer patients mm-hmm. from chemotherapy, certain medications that we use for heart disease or other autoimmune disorders can cause fibrosis. Some patients with autoimmune disorders like rheumatoid arthritis or lupus or scleroderma can also develop fibrosis due to the inflammatory process of their underlying medical condition. There are some subgroup of patients, probably about 10 to 20%, that we just don't know where it's coming from.
Mm-hmm.
And in those cases, we call it idiopathic.
Now, Michelle, you're with us, and you you have pulmonary fibrosis.
Yes.
And you got yours through radiation and chemotherapy, right?
That's where I started noticing the cough. I didn't have it until then, but as time has gone by, they've tested me. They've come to figure mine's probably from having acid reflux for so many years, and that the radiation possibly flared it up in my lungs.
And that's interesting. I mean, so acid reflux, I mean, if you think about it, the acid that's refluxing out of your stomach washes down into those bronchial tubes and gets into the lung tissue, and that acid is damaging to that tissue?
So that's one of the theories. There is a certain association between idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis and other medical problems. History of smoking is associated
right.
with higher risk. GERD, or gastroesophageal reflux disease, is also associated. It has not been very clearly described as a causality, meaning that GERD definitely causes
right.
it. We do know that a lot of patients with IPF have reflux, and it's very important in those patients to treat it. And there's definitely fair amount of evidence that associates those two.
So when you talk about IPF and then you hear the word sometimes interstitial lung disease, mm-hmm. same thing? Are we talking about the same thing?
So interstitial lung disease kind of encompasses much greater different diseases. So, you know, different kinds of inflammation in the lung. When you think about the lungs, there's, you know, the airways, the bronchioles, you know, all the other stuff. Abnormalities in those cause obstructive lung disease, which is like asthma or COPD,
right.
emphysema. And on the other hand, if the inflammation or the disease happens in the interstitium or the meat of the lung around the airways, we call this interstitial lung disease. So there's a lot of different interstitial lung diseases. Idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis is just one of them.
Got it.
Michelle, how did you first notice that something was wrong?
When I was in chemo, I started coughing, and I'd made the nurse aware because they ask you every week.
Was that? I don't mean to interrupt you, but was that at the beginning of chemo?
Yes.
Just right when
I probably had two or three chemo treatments when I noticed I was coughing. I never coughed before that, and then I went from chemo, took a 2-week break. Went into radiation, and I was coughing, and that was every day, and I was coughing more and more and more.
So you were coughing at home after you
yes.
had that first?
Yes. I was coughing, you know, once or twice there, and then at home. It just so gradually came on.
Mm-hmm.
You feel like you're catching just a cold with a cough.
Are you coughing because, I mean, this is both for you and the physician here, but the cough is caused by irritation to the lung tissue, or what's causing the cough?
That and shortness of breath.
Okay, so the cough and shortness mm-hmm. of breath. And are you short of breath consistently now?
Yes.
And what's the treatment? I mean, if you're scarring lung tissue and changing air exchange, is it medicine? I mean...
So in patients with idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis, IPF, there has really been no treatment available for decades. There's different therapies we have tried. Primarily anti-inflammatory medications, steroids, prednisone, others that have been tried, and none of them really showed to be very effective. In fact, some of them showed to actually harm our patients more than help them. There has been sort of a revolution in IPF over the last couple of years. There's a couple different medications that came available on the market approximately a year and a half ago and are available right now for patients, and these medications show benefit in terms of preventing progression of lung disease.
Mm.
They don't stop it. They don't make you necessarily better or make it resolve, but they showed on average to improve long-term outcomes, primarily preventing progression of lung disease. So it may slow it down.
Slow it down, but the reality is once that tissue's damaged, it's irreversible.
Correct. So for patients with very advanced disease and continue to progress, really the ultimate treatment option is lung transplantation.
Right.
You know, that is limited to younger patients, healthier patients. You know, you have to be, as you know, one of my mentors said years ago, you have to be, you know, sick enough to need it and healthy enough to survive it.
Right.
So you have to really select the right patients for transplant.
But
we
We've had patients on that have undergone lung transplants and it's changed their life. You know, just amazing transformation. Michelle, how are you dealing with it? Is there support for you out there?
There is. My family is very supportive.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's
great. How long have you been dealing with this?
Probably 2 years now. I do take the new medicine, the pirfenidone, and that, I believe, has helped me a lot. I'm also on a trial. What was the name of that?
Part of our practice is actually participation in clinical trials. One of the recommendations from different societies, including Pulmonary Fibrosis Societies and Foundation and American Thoracic Society, is always to consider patients for clinical trials, as for many years we have had no treatment, you know, and we have participated in some of the therapeutical trials in the past, and I have experience with it, and we continue to participate in a couple of different trials right now, and Michelle is in a trial called Island Trial. So patients who even are on therapies can enroll in other clinical trials trying to find other forms of treatment with hopefully one day mm-hmm. cure for this disease.
Yeah.
And Island trial, I was thinking they send you to Hawaii for that.
Yeah.
Cool.
I'm waiting for that ticket to come. Yeah.
You started a support group with your patients.
So one of the important components of taking care of patients with pulmonary fibrosis is to provide good education, awareness of the disease, and support for them. You know, this disease process is devastating for a lot of people and does not, on average, carry good prognosis. we had a wonderful support group at the University of Washington, but up here in Snohomish County where I practice in Everett and in this neighborhood, there has nothing really been available for many years for specific pulmonary fibrosis. So this year we started what we call pulmonary fibrosis support group. You don't have to have necessarily just IPF, but other forms of pulmonary fibrosis. It is supported by the Pulmonary Fibrosis Foundation, which is a national foundation, and it's really designed to educate and provide both, you know, emotional and kind of a collegial support for our patients. You know, we do about 2 hours at a time, and there's, you know, some lunch, so people are happy and fed.
Yeah, yeah, that helps, doesn't it?
That always helps. But at the same time, you know, we do some didactic sessions. But a lot of what patients learn is really talking to each other. What works for me? You know, where do I get this oxygen? Which oxygen, you know, tanks are better? How do I deal with depression? You know, those are very important components.
Just general support, right. Just a place to go to compare what everybody else is doing.
And it's not just for the patients, also for their families.
Right. You know?
How do they find out more about it?
Well, the next support group is on April 25th and at noon. They can find more information about it at our website at westernwashingtonmedicalgroup.com. It's www.medgroup.com. They can also call Nancy Brown, who's our respiratory therapist, and she's been in charge of organizing it. Her phone number is 425-252-1116 with an extension 2710. The support group is in South Everett area on 19th Avenue, mm-hmm. and it's utilizing our office space.
Good stuff. Thanks so much for coming on with us, Dr. Zandowski and Michelle, thanks so much. It was a pleasure meeting you.
Yes.
And good
luck
to you.
Thank you for having us.
We're taking a break. We're right back. It's Health Matters brought to you by IRG Physical and Hand Therapy right here on Fox Sports 1380.